cover everyone. This is a joint work with my colleagues Sokol Costa, Claudio Perta, and my boss Alessandro May from Sapienza University of Rome, as well as with Dr. Pan Hui, who is a researcher at the TIL Labs at Deutsche Telekom. So it's about this work, it's about mobile cloud computing. What's that? Basically, it is this new paradigm which allows us to save the battery of our smartphones. The idea is pretty simple. Whenever we have a task which is pretty computation intensive to execute, what we do is, instead of running it locally, we send its code and the necessary input for it to run to some servers on the cloud. So the cloud runs it for us and then gets back to us with the result. Okay. And that's how we save battery, by delegating heavy computation tasks to the cloud. This is all so cool and so nice, but there is, in this scenario, there is still a missing puzzle, because when I'm thinking of my smartphone, actually, I'm like, really? Like, heavy computation tasks? So what I do mostly with it is tasks which involve heavy communication instead. So my problem with this sort of scenario is that, okay, it is fun, we can use it to offload heavy computation, but how about offloading communication instead? How about enabling our devices to run on them complex applications which involve lots of communication, like, for example, peer-to-peer applications? Is that possible? So this work has as its main aim to fulfill this gap. In this work, what we do is we present the clone-to-clone platform, which does exactly this. It aims at building virtual peer-to-peer systems for smartphones on the cloud. So what's the main idea? Basically, in our clone-to-clone platform, we associate with smartphone a software clone running on the cloud, and then interconnect those clones through the high-speed network of the cloud in a peer-to-peer fashion. Okay. And this allows us to do so much, but I'm gonna talk to you about that just a bit later. Before that, what I want to say to you is that towards building this platform, what we wanted to do was to first study the most performing clones. And for that, we did consider various virtualization environments. We considered Camu, VirtualBox, and Xen. In particular, Xen, we did consider it because it is the Amazon's public cloud platform hypervisor. All right. So because we wanted to assess the performance of clones running also on public cloud services like Amazon, for example, that's why we considered Xen as well. Now, whereas for to run Android on Camu or on VirtualBox is a pretty easy stuff to do, for Xen, it's not easy at all. And that's mainly because Xen is a hypervisor, and well, it is not the real device, and the Android system expects underneath it a real device. It expects interfaces interfaces that take care of communication between the system and the microphone, for example, or the camera, or the display, and so on and so forth. And Xen could not provide that. So that's why, so far, it was impossible to run Android directly on Amazon Xen. So we wanted to fulfill this gap as well. So what we did was we worked in this direction, and we built an Amazon machine image for Android x86. So through that, we could, at that point, assess also performance of Android clones running directly on Xen. So these are the experimental results as far as the performance of clones is related to. So we used, as I said, Amazon's public cloud platform, and also our local servers as a private cloud. We used Camu, VirtualBox, and Xen as, and we assess the performance of clones in terms of CPU performance and read and write I/O performance. Okay. Well, as you all can notice, Zen overperforms them all. In particular, Zen running on Amazon overperforms Zen running on local machine, or on our local machine. Well, that is pretty straightforward since the Amazon instance that we used was more performing than our local server. But still, this is good news. I mean, this means that we can run now directly Zen on public cloud platforms, and Android on directly on public cloud performance, and we can have a pretty good performing clones. So that said, what we did at this point was, okay, we have the most performing clones. So how about now assessing, or rather proving, that our clone-to-clone platform can enable really complex applications that involve not only heavy computation, but also communication among smartphones. So to do that, we chose a particular type of application, which is an application that provides secure real-time collaboration systems for smartphones. What does that mean? So basically, I believe that all of you are familiar with Google Docs, right? Where, you know, like people at the same time can edit and modify the same document. Okay. So let's assume that the Google server is potentially malicious in the sense that he might wanna make so that the view of different user groups differs at some point in time. Okay, is that possible to build an application which assures us that if this happens, users at some point in time will know, and they are also able to recover back to a certain point in time where their view was consistent? So there was a paper on OSDI 2010 about this, and in which the authors presented this protocol called Spork, which is the one which is sort of visualized here. So how it works is basically like this. There is the entrusted server, and there are the users. And the users use the entrusted server just to make sure that their operations do have a global labeling, but at regular and certain points in time, users do communicate through each other, exchanging their history of their documents, so to make sure that no harm was done by the server. Well, of course, since the server is entrusted, also the protocol includes lots of crypto in order to sign and encrypt the operations so that the server cannot change them, basically. Now, what we did was we took Spork and we implemented that for smartphones. Okay, and then we said, okay, how about instead running just plain Spork on smartphones, how about using our clone-to-clone platform to enable this sort of applications? And we did so. So we built CloneDoc at that point, which was exactly built upon the clone-to-clone platform. And how it works, it's like this. Most of the crypto operations are now delegated to the respective clones of the smartphones. And the clones also handle tasks like handling operations coming from other users and then passing them to the respective user. They handle peer-to-peer communication, which involves the security checks every now and then to make sure that the server is not being malicious. They also deal with the communication with the server and also with the encryption that this communication involves. Okay. So at this point, we said, okay, we have the two systems. Let's see how they perform. And for this, we built up a testbed of 16 smartphones, of four different types of smartphones, all Android-based. And so the first type of smartphone was the most performing one, and the last type was the less performing one. And there you can see the test bed, and the white box over there is basically this thing called power monitor, which what it does is to sample with high frequency the voltage of the battery of smartphones. That we used that to see how much it was the consumption of the battery during the running of both protocols. Okay, and these are the final experimental results. So we measured the performance of both systems in terms of system responsiveness, networking, and energy consumption. About system responsiveness, so both the systems are real time. So it is important then to for them to be really responsive, because otherwise the user wouldn't use them, right? And in particular, responsiveness becomes very important in cases when a user temporarily disconnects from the system and then he reconnects to it after some time. So he needs to pull from the system all the operations that have been going on in the meantime in the system so that he has the final view of the document. Another important aspect of system responsiveness is how fast what is the time span that passes between the first moment in which some user in the system sends his first operation till the moment in which the very last operation sent by some other user in the system is being viewed on all the documents of all the users in the system. Okay, so how fast basically the users do sort of converge to the same view of the document while they are all editing it. Here I'm showing the results for the most performing and the last performing smartphones that we had on our testbed. So, as you can see, both in the case of the status update and on the editing case, the performance of the Klondok system is way over the performance of the Spork system. The second assessment that we wanted to make was how about networking? What happens with the traffic, with the cellular traffic that the smartphones handle while running both systems? Well, because in our Klondok system, the clones handle most of the communication among them for security purpose checks and most of the communication with the server. And what happens is that actually the smartphones do use their own networking interface much less, because as a matter of fact they do receive and well send not but they do receive less data than they would with than they do with a Spark system, right? And so we have basically the traffic amount that is being handled by the smartphones with the Klondok system is one third of the traffic that is being handled on the smartphones with the Spork system, which is a really good achievement. Lastly, but not least important, the energy consumption. So we measured the energy consumption for four test phases. First one is the editing phase. So every user was editing and we just measured the energy that was needed from the first moment of the editing phase till the last moment of the editing phase. The second assessment was about the status update phase. So whenever a user that is temporarily disconnected from the system reconnects to it, and we assess the energy that is being spent on the smartphone of that user to actually update the status of his own view of the document. The third one was the energy that was being spent about the security checks. And the fourth one, the energy that was being spent whenever a user was being removed from the system. This involved recreation of keys, encryptions, and so on and so forth. And, well, as you all can see, both for the less performing and the most performing smartphone, the energy consumption is much less with Klondok than with Spork, which is, again, a really good thing. And one of the most important takeaways here, actually, besides from the energy consumption and so on and so forth, is that whereas on Spork, you can see on all these graphics the difference, the huge gap of difference between the most performing and the less performing smartphone, with Klondok, this gap is shrinked, okay, which is a very good thing, because this means that we can enable through clone to clone even like old-fashioned smartphones to run applications that can run on more performing smartphones. So to recap, in this work we did build the first Android machine image for the Android system. Amazon machine image for the Android system. We studied the most performing clones on both public cloud platforms like Amazon and private cloud ones, our local servers. We presented an architecture for the clone-to-clone platform, and we showed its benefits through the Klondok system. And to conclude, we can say that according to our experiments, through clone-to-clone, we can not only offload communication, computation of heavy tasks, but we can also offload communication. We enable old-fashioned smartphones to run applications which are really heavy in a seamless way, as if they were almost as if they were running on more performing newer smartphones. And finally, we enable a new myriad complex peer-to-peer applications for energy limited smartphones. So thank you. Questions?
Okay, you said that you offload all the crypto to the clones, right? So how about the communication between actually the smartphone and the clone? Can that be sniffed?
Well, no. So for that, I skipped on that part. We do use symmetric crypto for that. So okay. When the system starts, basically the clone and the smartphone do agree on a symmetric key, and they use that during the whole protocol.
Do they use like a certificate or something? Does the smartphone get the certificate of the clone or?
Well, no, because we assume that the clone the smartphone does trust the clone. Oh, okay. Rather, the cloud platform on which the clone is running. Because, as a matter of fact, the clone could be running also on a private platform, like my server at my home.
Okay.
We do make that assumption. So we do trust the cloud platform.
Oh, okay. I have one more question. You compared your method to the Spork method,
yeah.
Right? Did you compare it to not having a framework at all, just having a smartphone actually do all the communication tasks by itself? I was just wondering about the overhead of your method versus not using any framework.
What do you mean? In terms of within the framework of a secure collaboration system?
Yes.
Well, no, we didn't do that.
Okay, I was just wondering.
So
thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm also curious with the same questions, whether you compare clone with the actual, if you really run this on smartphones, like how much is the overhead and things like that. But anyway, I really like the work. I think offloading communication is a nice paradigm.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you have take like one level up and you use Spork as an example, but can you classify like what kind of computing that running on our smartphones that can benefit from this offloading communications? Or, you know, maybe take, you know, 100 publications for smartphones, and what kind of, again, algorithms or protocols that can we that can benefit from this?
So actually, lately we're working again on a project related to this stuff, during which what we are doing is basically building an operating system which partially resides on the smartphone and partially resides on the cloud, with the cloud side handling all the traffic.
Okay.
And that allows for even more stuff to be done, like compressing of the incoming traffic towards the device, which means that again you use your networking interface less and you consume your battery less, basically, and so on and so forth. But for this work in particular, for the extension of this work, what we have also done was to build a system similar to Dropbox that allows users to share through their clones files. And so what you can do is basically whenever you want to share a picture or whatever, you upload that one on your clone, and then if your mom wants to access it, she accesses it through her clone, which connects to your clone and gets the picture. Afterwards, if a friend of yours needs to access that picture, you don't need to send the picture anymore to your friend, because he again accessed to it through his own clone, which connects to your clone and gets the picture from it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so on and so forth. But let me comment again on your questions before, which was also your question. We did not do that because we took this Spork application, whose basically motivation was that you can make use of remote servers in order to provide this sort of systems. Okay, and so there had to be a remote server somewhere. Okay, so that's why we just took that one with its own motivation, and we just rebuilt it for smartphones, and we compared it with our application, which was built on the clone-to-clone platform.
I originally asked because your primary goal was to diminish the battery power use, right, to lower the battery consumption. So that version is why I asked, because battery consumption seemed to be your ultimate goal.
Well, no, actually our ultimate goal was to enable applications that could seamlessly run on computers to run also on smartphones. Because if you think of that, I mean, my computer of 10 years ago was less performing than my smartphone, but it still could run things like BitTorrent, for example, that my smartphone cannot run, okay? So the idea was, can we enable those sort of applications on smartphones? This was the main idea of the work.
Very interesting work. I have a kind of a yes or no question real quick. So do you require that the guest OS and the hardware, like the instruction set architecture, to be the same between the clone and the smartphone?
So that is not required. But from a software engineering point of view, it is better to be so. Because you can run the same application code more easily on both the smartphone and the clone that way. But of course, the clone can be any Linux server. I mean, whatever. It is just easier that way. Oh, and by the way, whoever wants to use our AMI for the Android system, just drop me an email and I will get back to you with information on how to get it and where to get it.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. All right.